Psalms 119. Lord gave me this thought last night. I thought, I was happy. I was like, hey, I'm relatively early, going to go to sleep. Got both of them done. He woke me up. You know it's an act of God if I wake up at 4 in the morning. Woke me up and he said, hey, write this stuff down too. And I was like, I knew I went to bed early for a reason. But anyway, Psalms 119. We're going to read verses 10 down through verse number 16. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. In verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again, Lord, for an opportunity to stand behind this desk, Lord, and deliver your word into your people, Lord. I pray that you'd empty this unworthy earthen vessel itself. Lord, I pray that you'd bring to my remembrance the things that you've shown me through study. Lord, I pray that you'd help your people tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd use an unworthy man to uplift, to encourage, Lord, to edify your people. And we pray that you get all the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in Psalms 119, verses 10 through 16, by way of introduction, I want you to notice, first, the petitions. The petitions in verses 10 and 12. In verse 10, it says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Right. The psalmist is begging God, saying, Lord, first, with my whole heart have I sought thee. I'm serious about this, but Lord, my first request is, don't let me wander from thy commandments. Remind me. Keep instilling commandments into me. Maybe the same commandment, but in a different way. Just remind me as to what I need to do. But then in verse number 12, it says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Commandments are things that we should do or should not to do. Statutes are, for lack of a better term, a rule of thumb, a standard, something that we should aspire to. A commandment is, thou shalt not. But a statute is, be ye holy, for I am holy. Yeah. That's a requirement. Yeah. That's more than just do this, don't do this. Right. That's more than this is right, this is wrong. Yes. It's a, if you want to aspire to something, God's going to have to show you more than just what not to do and what to do. Yeah. It's more of a way to mold your life. Sure. Something that you aspire to over a long time. But second, I want you to see the preparation in verse number 11. The psalmist did not come empty-handed unto God. He did not ask God to do something for him without first trying to prepare himself. Verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. He's saying, Lord, I want to know your commandments, I want to know your statutes, but what word you've given to me already, I've hidden it in my heart, I've stolen it away, I've put it someplace safe, I've kept it sacred unto me in my heart, so that I don't sin against you. If I hide my word, or thy word, in my heart, I'll know what's right and wrong. Yeah. Sure. When I go to make a decision, I'll know what's right and wrong. Sure. Lord, I've done it so that I won't sin against you. Not so that I won't make the wrong decision, but that you will be satisfied, will be pleased with my life. Yeah. Then I want you to notice the praise in verses 13 and 14. He's saying, these are the reasons, Lord, that I know thy commandments, thy statutes, and thy word are beneficial unto me. Verse 13, he says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. He says, I know that your judgments are true. I just echo them. Yeah. He knows I can't top them. I'm not wise enough to know better than God, so I'll just declare your judgments because I know that they're holy. Yeah. Then in verse number 14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Mm. He's saying, God, I praise you because the testimony of what you've done for me, for other people, for my people throughout all of history, all of those things that you've done, I rejoice. I walk in those testimonies. I rejoice in the way of the testimonies, that path. He says, there is valuable to me. I take as much pride and as much richness out of those testimonies of what you've done and the power that you have as all riches that I've ever had. All riches that I ever will have. He's saying that the acts of God are just as valuable as anything that he can hold in his hand.
Right.
They say no matter what he does get or doesn't get in this life, he knows that it's very precious, the testimonies of God. The testimonies of God are where we find throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, God has done before, he can do again.
Sure.
His commandments and his statutes don't necessarily encourage me when I'm having a bad day.
Sure.
But the promises of God,
yeah,
the times that God has come through,
sure,
those are the testimonies that the psalmist is talking about.
Yes.
God has done before, he can do again, because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
His ways change not. His ways are above our ways.
Yes.
His ways are above finding out.
Right.
All of those things, the psalmist is rejoicing in. He's praising God for being the God that he is. But then finally, I want you to see the promises that the psalmist makes in 15 and 16. The psalmist says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. The psalmist makes a covenant here with God. First he asks God, show me thy commandments and thy statutes. He's saying, I've already hid thy word in my heart. I already take praise and glory in the fact that I know that you're God. Your judgment and the testimonies of what you've done in the past are far above anything else.
Amen.
But here he's saying, God, if you show me your commandments and if you show me your judgments, or whether you show me more commandments or more judgments or not, he's saying, from this day forward, what I want to do is meditate on thy precepts.
Yes.
I want to meditate on the things that you reveal unto me. Those precepts, those underlying details, if you will, about God. God is love.
Yeah.
That's a precept. That takes a long time to understand.
Sure.
Precepts all throughout the Bible on what God can do, what God will do, what God won't do, how God does. Things that God instructs us on. Like, we know that wisdom comes from God. In Sunday school, we've talked about that in Proverbs. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives unto all men liberally. But just wisdom coming from God, precept, that takes a lot to unravel. Solomon was the wisest man. He wrote a lot about it in the Bible, but God still has to show you wisdom. Can't figure it out from reading the book of Proverbs.
Sure.
There are certain precepts. He's saying, I will meditate. I'm going to spend time trying to unravel those things. Let you show me what you want me to know. Then he says, I have respect unto thy ways. Doesn't the Bible say what? That the prophet, God called, spoke through his prophet and said, but none say, restore. None say, return unto the old paths. The psalmist is saying, I respect, I admire the ways of God.
Yes.
I've proven that they're the right way in my own life.
Yes. Sure.
I put faith in them and they came back not void.
Yes.
But he's saying, I will always show respect unto your ways. I know that your way will be the way that will lead me unto righteousness. Then in verse 16 it says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. He's saying thy statutes are not just a list of things for me not to do. It's not bondage.
Right.
The statutes of God, if we abide by them, elevate our life.
Sure.
If we disobey the statutes of God, we'll make a misery and a mire of our life.
Sure.
We'll be stuck in perpetual quagmire.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be stuck in a rut, if you will. But these statutes of God, the psalmist delights in them because he knows his life is better with God's statutes than without them.
Amen.
He understands that the shepherding stick of God is not to inflict pain, but to guide him.
Yeah.
Although sometimes God has to chastise us.
Sure.
He's saying, but thy statutes, I'm going to delight in, because that's how I can be the person that you want me to be.
Amen.
And finally, it says, I will not forget thy word.
Yeah.
Again, go back to verse number 11. He says he's already hidden his word in his heart. But he's saying, Lord, to the best of my ability, unless I get Alzheimer's, unless I go senile, unless things start slipping away from me, I'm not going to forget thy word. I'm not going to forget the things that you've told me, the things that you've told my country, the things that you've told prophets, because I know that your word is precious. He doesn't have to say that he thinks the word of God is precious. He thinks it's so valuable, he's instilled that in his heart instead of anything else that he's found in the world.
Sure.
It's so valuable, he wants to put as much of it into himself as he can and get as much of everything else out. That's how precious the Word of God was to the psalmist. But as I read these verses, the thought for tonight comes from verse number 10. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. His whole heart. Not part of his heart, his whole heart. The next verse tells us that he's hid the word of God into his heart. He is hard fast and set on following after God. And he sought God with his whole heart. So with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach on tonight, seeking God. Seeking God. There are certain ways that we seek God. There are certain places to seek God. And with the Lord's help, we're going to go through the Bible, give you a couple of verses. By a couple, I may mean a few. And by a few, I may mean a lot. But seeking, and on what the Bible says, on how to not discover, but on how to have God show you what He wants you to do in your life.
Amen.
God does not play favorites. He's no respecter of persons.
Right.
If He showed something to an apostle or to a prophet, it's because they sought after Him.
Amen.
It's because they said or consecrated their life, and one day God called them and said, hey, you've been faithful, now I'll show you. They sought after what God wanted in their life.
Amen.
He's no different than today. I can't heal people like an apostle. I can't speak in tongues. Know a little bit of Espanol, but un pequeño, not much. Point being, if we seek, the Bible tells us we will find. But we have to seek the proper way. First, if we want to seek God, we have to have a perfect desire. Perfect not being without flaw, without sin. Perfect being complete. Just like it says in verse number 10, a perfect desire is one where you seek after God with your whole heart. In verse number 10, we've already read it of Psalms 119, and in Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. God told his people, the reason that you don't find me is because you don't seek me with your whole heart. The heart in the Bible is an illustration of man's desire. That's why we have to have complete desire for God if we want to find when we seek. If we have any discrepancies, if there's something else that we value more, we desire more, we're not seeking God with our whole heart.
Right.
Whole is the same thing as all.
Yeah.
Means all.
Yeah.
There's no other word for it.
Amen.
Now certainly, there's room in your heart for loved ones. The Bible tells us that children should honor thy father and thy mother. The Bible tells us that a husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There is room in your heart for other things, but God has to be at the forefront. The most important.
Right.
He is, for lack of a better term, the jewel in your crown.
Yeah.
He is the most important. He's the centerpiece.
Yes.
And until your whole heart is vested, until everything that you are, every part of your being, is seeking after the things of God, you aren't betwixt an opinion.
Yeah.
You aren't pulled in two directions.
Right.
You're not straddling a fence. And even if you know that you should seek after God, if there are, call them what it is, idols in your heart, you want to find out on what constitutes an idol, I preached on that a couple of years ago. It's up there on the tape rack. But for lack of a better term, anything that is more important to you than God is an idol.
Right.
That's modern day idolatry.
Right.
You may not have a cut out piece of wood or a piece of stone in your house that brings honor and glory to it, but still, it's idolatry.
Sure.
Anything in your heart that gets in between you seeking God's face with everything that you are, that is an idol. That's iniquity or unequal dealing with God. And not only did the psalmist say that he sought after him with his whole heart, God told Jeremiah that if you want to find him, it says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Seeking after God is one thing, but what good is seeking if you don't find? The purpose behind seeking is to find. Explorers didn't set off and set sail for open ocean. They wanted to find something at the end of their journey.
Right.
Christopher Columbus had faith through God, through God's word, because the Bible said that God looked upon the circumference of the earth.
Yeah.
Christopher Columbus said, I know if I sail off that way, I'm not going to fall off a flat edge. I'll find something.
Yeah.
If he wouldn't have found anything, he would have been disappointed. So if we are to seek, certainly we want to find.
Yeah.
If we want to find, we have to seek God with our whole heart.
Yeah.
But then second, when seeking God, he has to be the priority.
Yeah.
It's not enough to put everything that I am into seeking God. He has to be the priority of my seeking. Other things can't come first. I may love God with all my heart, but if I really loved God with all my heart, He would be first. But on numerous occasions, but we're going to read two, Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Here the psalmist says, Lord, I seek for You so much. I desire You in my life so much that I am famished unless You are in my life. Unless I find You, and I'm seeking, but unless I find You, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry,
yes.
I'm dehydrated, I'm malnourished without God. But He says, early in the morning will I seek Thee. Early, a priority. I wake up, first thing, I want to find out where God is.
Right.
If I can't find out where God is for today, where You would have me for today, how can I ensure that everything I do up until I seek God is according to His will?
True.
If I don't find out what God would have for me today, how will I be equipped to handle whatever He sends my way that day,
right,
or allows to come my way that day? The point of seeking early is to show God, not only am I serious about seeking You, I just want to make sure that I've got Your say on the matter before anything else happens.
Amen.
Every group of people in the Bible, whether it's Israel, whether it's the New Testament church, if they did it right, if they did it proper, they waited for God to say what to do, then they did it.
Yes, right.
They listened, they applied it, that would be meditating upon precepts, and then they went and did it.
Amen.
But the priorities had to be right.
Yes.
Couldn't be like King Saul when he heard the word of the Lord, went out and did something different, didn't kill King Agag, didn't slaughter all of the flocks of the sheep, didn't burn all of the spoils, didn't utterly destroy their enemy, and he paid the price for it.
Sure.
It has to be a priority.
Yes.
And if he's a priority daily, really, that's just a barometer. Lord, where have I misstepped? Lord, show me where today You would have me improve. And it's incremental, little by little, a Christian journey growing closer to God. You draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. But if we neglect, not early in the morning, maybe not every day, then the barometer can drift further and further from center, and we're not on the right course anymore.
True.
Setting Him as the priority, the forefront, the first thing. We've already covered the most important, but now just the first. First thing you do. How is it bad to start off the day with God? How's it bad to get into His Word, read a few promises, to let Him give you something that's going to help you get through the day?
Yes.
Can't go wrong doing that. But then Isaiah 26, verses 7 through 9. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Well, what's he saying there? The way of the just is uprightness. We find out what righteousness is from God. And he says, Thou, most upright, or You, God, the most upright, You weigh the path of the just. You'll tell me where I need to walk, is what he's saying. It says, Yea, in the way of Thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for Thee. The desire of our soul is to Thy name and to the remembrance of Thee. What's that saying? He's saying, you're first. Not my importance, not my desires of what I want to see. I desire to see Your name, and I desire to remember Thee. But then verse number 9, with my soul have I desired Thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek Thee early. For when Thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness.
Yes.
When we seek Him early, He can, before anything happens. We may get bad news in the middle of the night, but if you've heard from God that day, the day before, it'll help you through it.
Yes.
But early, we find out what the ways of righteousness are. Certainly, if we want to seek after God, we'll do it with our whole heart. We'll look to Him daily, early. But the instruction that we receive in the early morning will continue to direct us in the path of righteousness. And if we want to see God, we must I've already said it once, be ye holy for I am holy.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul wrote that he would, that men everywhere would lift up holy hands.
Yes.
Problem is not that people don't call unto God today. Problem is there are no holy hands.
Yes.
There is a lack. He said it, I said it during Sunday school, and then he said it during preaching. Christians aren't salty anymore. We've lost the savor.
Amen.
And when we've lost our savor, we can't seek. We can seek after God all we want to, but he won't show us. Because what good are we except to be tossed out and trodden under the feet of men? But then, not only must we seek God with a perfect desire, a complete desire, not only should he be the priority in our day, but we should seek for God in the places that he inhabits.
Amen.
Can't look for God where he is not.
True.
You're going to waste your time.
Amen.
The old adage is, well, I lost something, but where is it? The last place that you,
right,
you put it.
Yeah.
God doesn't wander.
Right.
His throne's set in the corners of the north.
Yes.
You can't move from there.
Right.
There's no place higher than that.
Right.
But when we seek after the Lord, there are certain places that he's just always going to be there.
True.
If we get the pathway clear, if we get the iniquity out, if we've strove to walk the path of righteousness, we'll find him there.
Amen.
Luke 2, verses 46 through 50. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, yes, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. What Jesus said, how is it that you sought me? In other words, where did you look for me?
Yeah.
Or how did you look for me? And then he says, wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?
Yeah.
That word wist, old English word, means it's the past tense of no. So didn't you know, in hillbilly, didn't you know I had to be about God's business?
Yeah.
Capital F, Father.
Yeah.
The Father.
Yeah.
So he's saying, where did you look for me? How did you look for me? Didn't you know that I was going to be, for lack of a better term, in the house of God, the temple.
Amen.
First place you can find Jesus, going to be at the house of God. He's the Son of God.
Right.
Why wouldn't he be at God's house?
Amen.
If the owners of the house are not there, I, as the Son, have to take care of whoever comes to the door.
Yep.
Certainly the Son of God is just going to show up at the house of God, answer some questions about the one who owns it.
Yeah.
They started to ask him questions. They marveled at him. They were astonished. Couldn't believe his questions or his answers.
Right.
But when Mary and Joseph lost him in the throng,
yeah,
they didn't lose him. He just never left.
Yeah, look at that.
But that's a completely different topic. Can't chase that rabbit. But when you can't find the Son of God, you're always going to find him at the house of God.
Yeah. Glory.
But second, John tells us that in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And this right here, the living Word.
Yeah.
He was the Word made flesh.
Yeah.
The Word that dwelt among us.
Right.
Emmanuel, or Jesus, means God with us.
Right.
He lived every part of the Old Testament, fulfilled it.
Right.
And then he lived a life that inspired the New Testament.
Yes.
Everything about this book is about him.
Right.
His name may not be on every page, but he's there.
Amen.
If you seek after God, one of the places you'll find him is in the Word of God. That's why the Word of God must be spiritually discerned.
Right.
The Spirit of God must teach me about the God of the Bible.
Sure.
And what does the Bible tell us about the Holy Spirit? That he does not testify of himself.
True.
Testifies of Jesus.
Amen.
The Word of God, you'll find him.
Yeah.
Got to seek him in his house. Got to seek him in his Word.
Good.
But while seeking, we must be listening.
Yeah.
The Bible says that we should constantly be in a state of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean that we walk around with our eyes closed or drive a car with our eyes closed, although I'm convinced that some people do that. But don't walk around praying, mumbling, blibber-blabbling to yourself. Just be receptive. Be spiritually in tune with the Holy Spirit. God does not write in the sky. He does not crack thunder and let us see visions. Doesn't speak in dreams. He speaks through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If we have sought God in His house, if we have sought God in His Word, sometimes the Holy Ghost is just going to come by, give us a little nugget. Maybe an encouragement. Maybe a pat on the shoulder. Maybe a little bit of pulling on a string, saying, don't go that way. But part of seeking is listening. I didn't include it because we already had so many verses, but you go over to Daniel, I believe it's either chapter number 6 or chapter number 8, and it's either verse number 6 or verse number 8, vice versa. I'm getting those two flipped in my head right now. But Daniel received the vision from someone else, but then he had to wait on God. Yes. It's not just enough to seek after God. Daniel wanted to give the interpretation. He had to wait on God for the interpretation.
Amen.
You can come, you can listen, you can pray, you can seek Him in His Word, but unless you're listening, you're not going to find.
Right.
So seek Him where He is, but also listen for when He answers.
Yeah.
And He won't answer unless you've sought Him in the right places.
True.
You can't walk out into a field somewhere and say, God, show me what I need to do. God has a way. His ways are above finding out.
Amen.
We've already been over this. But God's way is not negotiable. You must come to Him as He said to come to Him, and then He will hear us. He's resisted them of a haughty spirit, an upright spirit, prideful spirit, but He's near of them of a contrite spirit. He heareth them of a contrite spirit. Save as such as a contrite spirit. If we come to Him genuinely in the right places, that's where that humility, that's where that meek and lowly, that's where that fear of God, a reverential treatment of Him, comes into play.
Yes.
If we truly reverence God, if we're truly meek, if we're truly lowly, if we're truly humble, if we ask God, we'll be listening. And it doesn't matter if it takes a day, a month, a year. We'll understand that God will answer when He will answer. We may continue to ask Him, but we're still listening. When we quit listening, that's when God may have answered. But what's the point in asking if you're not ready to receive? If you're not ready to hear? But then, only got two left. We should seek God with the passion with which He sought us. He hit on it this morning. The word Christian is to be Christ-like. I'm sure that it touches the heart of God if we... I cannot love with the magnitude that God loves us.
Sure.
In this flesh, I can't even understand it, much less do it.
Right.
There's no way in this flesh that I can be as long-suffering and can be as merciful and gracious as the Lord God Almighty.
Right.
But I can put my all into it.
Amen.
If He sees the passion in me that He sought me with,
yes,
that's why He sought me. Well, so that one, I could have a relationship with Him.
True.
But two, I could tell others about Him.
Right.
If I seek Him with a passion, with a fervor, the Bible says with a zeal,
yes,
with a burning sensation,
yeah,
it's just something in me that I can't shut off.
Right. Yeah.
Jeremiah said he had a fire shut up in his,
yeah,
bones.
Right.
He couldn't quit.
Right.
If I've got that kind of pursuit after God, David was a man that the Bible said was after God's own heart. That's seeking Him with passion. God sought him out on the backside of a hill somewhere when he was tending sheep. And David never forgot it. He worshipped God before that, but hey, he never forgot where God found him. He was just a man after God's own heart. If we take that passion and turn it back towards God, it's one thing to put my faith into Him and say, I believe that You'll save me. It's another thing to keep taking all the faith that I have, all the passion and zeal that I have, and just giving it back to Him and saying, Lord, I just want to see You.
Amen.
2 Timothy 1, verses 15 through 17 says, the Lord gave mercy. Sorry, that's the next point. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love.
What is it?
A love that has existed as long as God has existed. In order for that to be true, that means that He knew me as soon as whenever God started. He knew that Jordan was going to be there one day, and He's just always loved him. But then, goes on to say, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Yes.
Kindness wrapped in love and love wrapped in kindness
is
how He drew me. It didn't strike the fear of God into me when he tried to draw me unto him.
Yes.
It was just loving kindness.
Thank the Lord.
But if I pursue God with that much intensity, if I take seeking God as seriously as he took seeking me out to save me from hell, then that's where the rubber meets the road.
Sure.
God looks upon the heart.
Yes.
You may not be able to get up and turn purple like Brother Lawrence and say weird things, but if all of your heart is in it,
yeah,
God can see it.
Sure.
There's a difference between your intentions,
right,
being all out for God and your emotions being all out for God.
True. Yes.
The Bible says that sometimes the Spirit intercedes with us because we can't even get the words.
Right.
Spirit intercedes with the groanings and utterings of our soul, of our heart.
Yes.
So if we seek after God, if we throw it all in, we may not know what to say, we may not know what to ask for, but if everything in you wants to see God and is seeking after him, you'll get the answer that you need. And if you keep seeking, then you'll keep receiving.
Hey.
It's just a cycle. I've said it before, if you put your faith in God and he answers, or he does, he rewards your faith, that grows your faith.
Sure.
And if you just keep putting it all on the Lord,
yeah,
it'll just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's how faith grows.
Hey.
God gave unto every man a measure of faith, but he didn't give unto man the most faith that he could handle. It was a measure. We got to grow it.
Amen. Good.
I can't grow my faith because I didn't even put my faith in me to start off with.
Right.
So if I just seek after him and say, I believe,
yeah,
that you're what I need and I'm going to seek after you with everything I am, he'll see your heart.
Yes.
He'll understand that you mean it.
Right.
And then he'll reward it.
Amen.
But then finally, we have to seek after God, being willing to perform his will with persistence.
Yes.
It's one thing to seek after God and say, Lord, show me what you'd have me to do. Lord, show me where you'd have me to go. Lord, show me who you'd have me to reach. But it's another thing to say, Lord, show me so I can go.
Yes.
If you surrender that you're going to do whatever God tells you to do before he tells you to do it,
yeah,
certainly God will, once again, looking on your heart, know, hey, that one's faithful. That one wants to know, not so that they can say, oh, I get to choose what I want to do for God. Or, Lord, I don't think that it's the will of God for me to go over there. Not going to argue with the answer. They're going to be meek. They're going to be lowly. They're going to be humble. They're going to say, yes, Lord. If we purpose in ourselves to answer, yes, Lord, before the answer ever comes, then certainly God will allow you to find him. You're seeking him out not for your own glory. You just want to do something for him.
Yes.
And when you purpose in yourself to perform his will with persistence,
yes,
means that when he gives it to you, you're not going to give up on it until either it's done or he calls you home.
Right.
An example of that is now found in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 15 through 17. The Apostle Paul wrote about a man by the name of Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus was just someone that tended, that ministered unto Paul. Someone that helped him. But here's how he helped him. He pursued after the will of God in his life with persistence. Verse 16 says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Onesiphorus didn't care that the world hated Paul and threw Paul in jail. He wasn't ashamed of the fact that he was in chains. He said, I know that you're the man of God. I'm not going to turn my back on you.
Amen.
The verse before this, the Apostle Paul names two and everybody in Asia,
yeah,
who turned their back on him.
Yeah.
But he says, not Onesiphorus. Then verse 17 says, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently,
yeah,
and found me.
Yeah.
If we are busy about the Father's business very diligently,
yeah,
certainly God will give us something to do for him.
Yeah.
He knows that the job will get done.
Amen.
He knows we'll throw all into it.
Amen.
But here, Onesiphorus, I don't know if he lived in Rome. I know that if he did live in Rome, he didn't live in Ephesus, which means this guy traveled around a lot just to help the Apostle Paul.
Right.
It says in verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well.
Yes.
This guy went out of his way.
Yes.
On at least two occasions, maybe more that the Apostle Paul didn't mention. Apostle Paul doesn't go into detail on what he did, but we know that he ministered unto him, and he very diligently sought him out.
Yes.
So that he could be an encouragement to him.
Right.
So that he could edify him.
Right.
Maybe so that he could tend to his needs or to his wounds.
Right.
But it was very diligent.
Yeah.
And the Apostle Paul said, hey, don't worry about them ones in Asia who have turned their backs on us.
Yeah.
I just want some Onesiphorus.
Yeah.
Some more of him. Very diligent people. Things will get done. Those are the people we heard about this morning. I'll turn the world upside down. God told Onesiphorus, I want you to be a helper to the man of God. I want you to be an Aaron or a Hur to the Apostle Paul. And by doing so, you'll just give him a little bit of help, a little bit of encouragement. Help him get on down the way. Because Paul knew, eventually God told Paul, hey, you're going to make it before Caesar. So Paul knew he was going to live until he saw Caesar. But along the way, got a little hard, got a little tough. I'm sure after you've been tarred once, you don't want to go through it again.
True.
But Onesiphorus wasn't ashamed of what the world was doing to Paul.
Right.
He understood that Paul had a purpose, and his purpose was to help Paul.
Amen.
So he just did it very diligently.
Amen.
They couldn't hide him from him.
Right. Look at that.
He was in Rome. I don't know if this guy knew his way around Rome, but he asked enough people to where he eventually found Paul.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good.
He didn't rest until he knew that he had done the will of God in his life.
Good.
If we purpose to do that while seeking God, before he ever tells us what he would have us do, or while we're in the midst of doing what he tells us to do, God honors faithfulness.
Amen.
Only got my sleeve partially wet. Among stewards, it's required that a man be found faithful.
Amen.
If we purpose that we're going to do what God tells us to do no matter what, the world may try to hide the objective.
Amen.
They may try to obscure the objective from us.
Right.
But long story short, come hell or high water, I'm going to seek after God.
If
we do that, we'll find him.
Amen.
Then I'll say this and I'll close. It says in John 6:26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled.
Right.
Too many people seek after God not so that they can find out what God wants them to do.
Right.
Or that God can do a miracle in their life. They were satisfied. They were filled with some loaves and some fishes that Jesus broke on the side of a mountain one day. They were content with just having their physical needs met.
Yeah.
Here, Jesus rejects them.
Yes.
Amen.
And he says, you're not worthy of it.
Right.
What good are you if you're just going to follow me around and want food all the time?
Yeah. True.
What did the disciples do? He sent the disciples out. These people wanted to stay.
Yeah.
These people liked it right next to Jesus' hands,
right,
where mercies flowed day after day after day.
Yeah.
But they didn't want miracles. They didn't want God to intervene for them. They just wanted food. I'm sure some of these people had rough lives.
Yeah.
I'm sure that the old widowed lady who gave those two mites, who gave all that she had,
yeah,
I'm sure she would have liked a meal.
Yeah.
Jesus said that that woman, she, giving all,
yeah,
she gave everything to God.
Yeah.
God take care of that lady.
Yeah.
But these people, they didn't want to go by faith. They wanted proof. They just wanted to sit right there next to the hands of Jesus.
Yeah. Good.
Didn't want to change. Didn't want to stir up their life too much. Didn't want to go out. Didn't want to become a disciple. Just wanted hand-me-outs. Too many times we seek God for the hand-me-out.
Right.
We don't realize the miracles that he can do.
You're right.
They were satisfied with the miracle of a little bit of food being turned into a lot of food.
Yeah.
They didn't want to know the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the Prince,
right,
of Peace.
Right.
They didn't want to know Emmanuel.
Right.
They just wanted to know Jesus, the one that can make more food out of a little food. And for years, our pastor said that to see revival, we'll have revival when we want it more than we don't want it.
Amen.
Same applies to seeking God.
Yeah.
Can't have revival without seeking God.
Right.
But we'll see God when we seek after him,
yes,
wanting to see him more than we don't want to see him.
Right.
God said, seek my face. Doesn't want us to seek the loaves and the fishes. Doesn't want us to seek what we want to do for God. He just said, seek me. And if we look for him with all the desire that we have, if we look for him with him as the priority, if we look for him in the places where he inhabits, if we look for him with the passion with which he sought us, and we seek after him that way, and if we purpose to perform his will with persistence, we'll see him. Because God won't have an excuse not to let us see him. Far too often, we're the excuse on why we don't see God. But if we do all those things, everything will be in line. We'll be able to do what God allows us to see. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We have to see something in order to continue going. It's not God's fault that we don't see it. It's ours. I'm done.